I'm going to shake this up, I can tell you. There's a big cultural change on the way.
Put down your binoculars, ladies and gentlemen. Malcolm has arrived.
I have two words for you. I'm back.
Together, we will make America great again.
The Wrap.
It's the end of the week. That's why we're doing that. Wrapping some of the biggest stories of the past few days to join me in this earnest endeavour. Editor of Vice Australia, Julian Morgans. Julian.
Hey, Jonathan.
We salute you. Comedian Anne Edmonds.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
Good.
The better for seeing you two and your smiling faces.
We are smiling.
Mm-hmm. You are, but not for long. This story in South Australia, Julian, this was your pick, and it's an extraordinary story, this big battery.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very.
Does it come with its own rabbit is what I'm wondering.
Well, today, I think Elon Musk, I think it was today, he tweeted, Australia rocks. So as far as I'm concerned, it's just nice that he cares. Nice that he notices us.
He cares so much, but not everybody is well, all that down with it. Remember, these two go back a bit. Jay Weatherall and Josh Frydenberg went head for head over Australian energy policy. Do you remember this? If you don't, remember. Well, here's an aid memoir.
It is a disgrace the way in which your government has treated our state. Is the most anti-South Australian government we have seen from a Commonwealth government in living memory. What we have is a national energy market that is broken.
There you go, Julian. And Jay Weatherall getting the last laugh today, thanks to Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah, unless it's free. Well, for Elon Musk, which will be disappointing.
The thing that went through my mind straight away, any mention of battery is, can I put my tongue on the end? And you remember those square ones
the 9-volt ones.
Yeah. And now when I thought of this big one, I'm like, oh, I wonder what that'd be like. Shoot you off into space.
You'd be hovering over Kangaroo Island before you knew where you were.
Is it a battery? Does it look like a battery, or does it look like something else? Like, does it look like a Duracell battery?
I imagine it looks like a sort of generic Bunnings warehouse, just an enormous building.
No.
Oh.
Well, I don't think so. No? Well, no? Picture I saw.
Tell me.
This was the Tesla site, right? Mm. And put out a big announcement today. And the one that building in South Australia, I mean, it's three times bigger than anything else in the world, as Jeremy Clarkson might put it. But they had a picture of one, I think it's somewhere in California, and it's like a series of, well, you say Bunnings, it's like a series of sort of do-it-yourself back garden sheds.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Okay.
Like batteries.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, because I mean, I think, you know, even just your iPhone battery is made of a series of cells, so it makes sense that there'd be a whole bunch of different components, and if one breaks down, they could probably fix the others, so you silo them from off each other. I'm making stuff up. But,
it's kind of cool.
I believed it. I was on board.
I was so there for that.
Yeah. I don't believe anything.
But this is, it's not often, and Australia always has this potential, I reckon, but it's not often you actually see it. That here we are. This is going to be the biggest thing in the world. This is, in this area, this is world-leading technology. You know, we should be pretty.
I think so.
Spring in the step.
Yeah. South Australia is something to be proud of over there. You know, besides the Adelaide Fringe and what's the other one? Clipsal once a year. Now they've got the big battery. they could power the Clipsal with the big battery.
Does sound like one of those, you know, like the big lobster.
Yeah.
Which I think
get your photo in front of it.
Is that also South Australia, or am I thinking of the big prawn?
There's a big pineapple somewhere.
Not in South Australia, I'm guessing.
No. I don't know. What is it in South? Or is it that there's a big koala somewhere?
A giant rocking horse, I'm told. Where's that? In the hills.
There's a big bale of hay somewhere.
I'm
Hamilton?
Sure there is.
There used to be a big orange out just outside of Berry in South Australia, and I saw it recently, and it was
Big orange.
The saddest graffiti-covered big orange I've ever seen.
There's a big merino in Goulburn, of course, that also has the biggest sheep testicles, I think, in the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, wow.
That's what you want.
You do. Yeah. Which leads me to, I think, Rockhampton. They have a big bull in the middle of the street, and aforementioned male bull appurtenances are routinely stolen from bull.
That's the beef capital, where they once a year they have the beef queen that they crown.
In an unrelated development to the stealing of the testicles, I'm guessing. But Elon Musk, he's a guy.
Let's talk about Elon.
I suspect he has a subterranean lair.
yes. I mean, look, I have to admit, I chose this story today because I kind of love him. I love the way he gets up in the morning and just sticks to whatever crackpot scheme he dreamed up the previous day. I mean, I have trouble. I don't know. I say things like, I'm going to eat less bread. And within 24 hours, I forget about it. But he decides he's going to build a Hyperloop, or he decides he's going to build a giant battery. And it happens.
He's working on a totally different scale.
He is my personal Jesus in some ways.
I wonder what time he's getting up for all that stuff.
Elon?
Yeah.
He needs a big day. Big day to fit that in.
Yeah. Big day for a big battery.
He's not a big sleeping guy. Are you impressed by Elon?
Yeah. Anyone that can do anything like that or get out of
anyone
bed.
Anyone who can do anything.
I'm a comedian, so I just got out of bed about 40 minutes ago, so, and I've achieved nothing. So.
Okay.
But you're on the radio.
I'm on the radio. Yeah, that's anyway, there you go.
That's a thing.
Yeah,
that almost requires batteries. This is Radio National. Batteries not provided. It's 16 minutes away from 7. We are wrapping the week. And I'm not doing that alone. No, I am not. I'm doing that with the editor of Vice Australia, Julian Morgans. Is that right? It's an R. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's plural.
Thank you. And comedian Anne Edmonds, and that's plural as well.
Yes,
and
thanks.
Anne, you selected also a story on which we should focus our discussion.
Yeah, Corey Bernardi doing the special little presentation for a branch of the Liberal Party up in a golf club, I think.
He's a defector, though.
He's a defector, yeah, but they want him along because I think they're feeling left behind by the by the rest of the libs up there on the golf course in the northern beaches, wherever they are.
Roseville.
Yeah, things are tough.
Have you ever done a gig at a Liberal Party sub ranch?
No.
Really? I know it's your dream.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any Liberal supporting comedians. That'd almost be a niche area.
They say this, you know. I mean, they. People always talk about, you know, where are the funny people from the right?
Yes.
Apart from obvious people like Corey Bernardi.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where they are.
I think they're all dead. They're sort of people, they're antiques like Bob Hope. I can't think of any contemporary right-wing comedians.
I mean, I don't know. There's comedians that go and perform for the troops, I guess. But yeah. I don't know where that puts you on the...
So what is it about comedy that makes it sort of instinctively leftist?
I think, well, your job is to constantly look from the outside in at things, and they all seem absurd. And I suppose you're interested in, comedy is also a very lowbrow art form. And most of your audience it's not theatre goers, or it's a regular man on the street.
It's drunks, really.
Yeah. And so I think you're sort of in the real world often.
Malcolm Turnbull's in the real world. He's been having a rotten time, Julian, I put it to you. Corey Bernardi playing Liberal Party branches is just one manifestation of this. I want to talk about a man that Malcolm Turnbull finds difficult to mention.
Is Tony Abbott being helpful?
Well, I'm not going to comment on the gentleman you described, referred to, but let me just say this about the budget. Look, again, I know your interest in the gentleman you described, but I'm not. Listen, please. Gentleman, you.
I'm guessing, and you have not heard the Voldemort moment.
I read about it, but to hear it, yeah, that's great. I loved it. Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to speak or look at him. That's how it sounds.
I kind of get where Malcolm is with that. No?
I wonder if they will ever see. I wonder if they will ever look at each other in the eye again. You know, some Liberal Party function years down the track. It's Christmas.
Corey Bernardi's doing a tight 10 minutes.
That's right. It's year 2021, and, you know, they've forgotten the past. They've moved on.
It'll get into that territory of, like, Corey, could you ask Tony to pass me the the cheese, you know, when they're sitting right there? It was like, can you tell Malcolm that I'm not going to pass him the cheese?
It was an interesting exercise, though, that little grab and his refusal, you know, Harry Potterish, like, not to name the anti-hero. It was a nice example of how that stuff works now in social media, because suddenly there were a million memes and mentions about you know, he who must not be mentioned, Lord Abbott.
Yes, yes.
People, I mean, people thought, you know, that Liberal Party was Slytherin anyway, so why are they so worried about Voldemort? Yeah, okay. I understand, too, that that Mark Latham is he says, at his own admission, being pestered for gigs at Liberal Party sub-branches.
Yeah, what's going on? They just, they're feeling left out. I reckon they're all right up there on the golf course. I think they're...
Am I right in thinking that Mark Latham was approached by but before Bernardi potentially got this job in Bruceville, they approached Mark Latham earlier this year. I'm not sure if he did it or if he was interested.
I did read that as well. I think he might have done it. That was the impression I got from that.
What do they possibly see in the former leader of the opposition?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe just a chance for a bit of a heckle or a...
Well, he's gone over, you see. I mean, they're always attractive figures in politics, the people who start out somewhere and end up somewhere else, and then they are fated and embraced by their new friends.
Maybe he's doing strip teasers and things like that these days.
I wonder
magic tricks.
He's gone wrong. It's not it's not unreasonable.
Well, why not?
Not sure I want to go to that show, but I'm wondering who plays at Labor branch things. I mean, Rodney Rood, Ugly Dave Gray.
Yeah.
Who's doing
just
their
get Rod Quantock just... Over and over again.
Well, I think even the Labor Party might have lost even the interest of the comedians. Probably only doing stuff for the Greens these days.
Comedians? Really?
I think so,
Is that right?
I don't know how...
You comedians are right out there on the edge.
Yeah.
We're wearing balaclavas and going down to G20.
Do you guys talk backstage about which political party you should really target with your... to make a bit of money.
Comedians talk about themselves nonstop. Right. So it's just a room of people talking about themselves and no one listening to each other. So that's a rule.
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
In a junkie HQ, when you talk politics, I mean, what's your sort of process there? Because you've got to find us kind of another way into the yarns, don't you? You've got to have an angle.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, politics often doesn't appeal to our readership if it's just straight commentary.
What appeals most to your readership, because you know those numbers?
Sex, drugs, crime, gangs, environmental disasters, cults, and then you can play a game of...
Well, so much for the Liberal Party.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's...
And you have to have some...
It's much more like Mark Latham.
And you have to have some sort of clickable... In like, do you have to sort of get a heading going that's like, do you get into listicles?
Clickable and listicles, these are negative, horrible terms, but it has to be accessible.
Accessible
is a much nicer word. I think, for example, we have a story that's political, and if we just run it simply as Fairfax would, then no one's going to read it.
No.
There has to be a weird twist to it, or a very personal, intimate kind of, hey, this politician did this and we're going to go and interview them while drinking champagne, and, you know, it's a twist.
So are you responsible for sort of debasing politics for millennials? Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Personally responsible.
I'm glad we cleared that up. It's 9 minutes away from 7. This is RN Drive. We're doing our bit to, undermine the pillars of journalism with Vice Australia's Julian Morgans, comedian Anne Edmonds, and we're about to turn our attention to, it's clearly been the big yarn of the week, I think, the impending nuclear conflagration, which is about to either remove Alaska or Darwin from the map. The choice there is entirely to be determined by North Korea. It's unsettling.
Very unsettling, yeah. Because I was reading that somewhere that Kim Jong-un's gone from like being a bit of a comical figure to suddenly being,
No, this is serious.
Yeah,
now.
This is serious. This guy's a lunatic, and we're in trouble. The same could be said for Trump, really.
If you had to guess, if you really had to guess, how do you think this will end?
I hope not in. Well, I it's hard to say with Trump being such a loose cannon. I mean, he may just decide to,
Is it going to be up to him?
I guess so.
He'll make the first move.
I think Trump, I think it'll come down to Trump perhaps doing something stupid that gets the rest of the world into very hot water.
I thought
but
the
that's
other
a bit
guy
grim.
Had already done something incredibly stupid.
Yeah, stupidity. Who's the biggest child with the biggest arsenal?
Mm.
It's a pity when international geopolitics comes down to that kind of a that sort of a proposition.
Mm.
Yes,
who's the biggest
but,
child?
Historically, it's always been a pity.
But there are adults in the room, aren't there? I mean, we look at G20. We see Angela Merkel. She's an adult.
That's right. But they come and go, and then Trump comes in, and then we get rid of him, and then, you know, it's the ebb and flow. But, yeah, we're in a bad place right now.
Do things like G20 tickle the fancy of either of you two?
I mean, we were just talking about outside how it's never had a good run, has it? Like, it's just always been protested against, and all I ever see is the balaclava sales in whatever city it's being held in must
Kevin
go through
Rudd
the roof.
Made it what it is today, you know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He's the big...
He turned it from being some sort of a wacko finance meeting in strange shirts to being a serious sort of grouping of international leaders. So big batteries and G20. This is Australia calling.
Did it graduate from the G8 or something?
Yes, become the G20? That's right. I was reading that.
That could be right.
Because there's a lineage of G somethings.
So and Europe is one, is just one of them. All of Europe, the EU is just one, and then the 19 at rest are other countries.
They used to have a whole bunch. This is what we were saying before. They used to have a whole bunch of them in there around the 2000s era. And, yeah, they were always equally messed up by riots and people setting fire to small shops.
But it's sort of interesting, though. I mean, sometimes you see those meetings as these groups of the powerful leaders who have their own agenda, which is seen as, you know, vaguely hostile to ordinary people. But then at a time like this, when there's all this stuff going on, and you actually want these people to have a serious conversation about climate change, you want these people to talk seriously about migration, you want them to have a coherent conversation about North Korea, we kind of say, actually, could you
have a
do
chat.
Something constructive?
But well, have they got any, like, if they do say to Trump at this meeting, oi, what you're doing with climate change is no good, then what power do they have in any way, shape or form to influence Trump?
They are the world. They are the people.
Yeah, but can he just say no and they say righto, like he's already done at the climate change conference?
Well, I mean, this is an economic forum, so they probably wouldn't have that discussion there. That's more of a UN thing.
Mm.
But for all we know, they are saying these things, but it's not nearly as clickworthy as a Porsche on fire.
So when you say it's an economic thing. What's going on there? What are they talking about?
I think they're essentially discussing trade deals and embargoes and, you know, how much...
Hacking into your WhatsApp account. They're talking about that too.
But, so the anarchists out the front are upset because it's really the most powerful countries in the world talking about money while the developing world...
That always gets... Anyone in a balaclava, that gets their goat every time. Take it from me. We're going to go to recommendations now because it's very important that we do that because this is something for everyone to follow up on. Julian, what have you got for us? It's a podcast, I think.
Yeah, I've been listening to a podcast by a guy named Sam Harris. It's called Waking Up.
He's an interesting guy.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him until about 3 weeks ago. And he's renowned as being a neuroscientist and one of the big four atheists, along with Richard Dawkins and et cetera. But the thing that I really like about him is his amazing ability to summarize really complicated, nuanced subjects in these beautiful sentences where he just uses exactly the right words. and so effortlessly. He'll just say something and
just
I go, wow, that was poetry. How did you script that? Where did that
like
come from?
God no exist? Stuff like that. Is it as beautiful as that?
Sometimes, including that. And so I've just been really enjoying his interview style and that his guests are fascinating. He brings in a wide range of people who are really cutting edge in their various fields. And he manages to always bring the best out of them, I think.
I talked to him once.
That. Yeah? Tell me about that.
Oh, I've forgotten.
It must have been enthralling.
And yours.
I just finished reading. I read a lot and I finished reading what I think was my first ever memoir that I've read by a guy called Eric Lomax called The Railway Man, which was set on the Burma Railway, which was horrendous. And I actually didn't know much about it, which was a bit of an oversight
was
by me.
The movie?
There was a movie of it that I haven't watched it
Colin
yet.
Colin Darcy.
Yeah. So it's his story of he was obsessed with trains and then he ended up you know, on the Burma Railway in the most horrendous Japanese prison camps. But he, I won't spoil it, but it's in, the outcome of it is quite incredible. But yeah, he speaks about it all very in a very objective kind of almost clinical kind of way. And he's got that very, he's like got that very engineering type brain, loves trains and
what a weird combination to sort of to have that and then be in that situation and yet
and still love still you know love trains and but he knew straight away looking at the railroad that it was absolutely impossible and it would never work and was a disaster obviously but yeah terrible story that I didn't know that affected a lot of Australians and I honestly didn't know much about up until now.
Wow. There is a pair of recommendations for you to take forward, dear listener, into your next week or weekend. Waking Up, a podcast by Sam Harris. The Railway Man by Eric Lomax. A natty book. What have I got? What can I offer? What have I been doing? Because I, you know, I crawl around on social media a lot. Thing I like today, and this is how journalism's work. You got Donald Trump turning up at meeting the Polish Premier and First Lady, and the Polish First Lady ducks out of Donald Trump handshake. But if you watch the real video, then she comes back and shakes hands. Mm. So it was manufactured to elicit a response.
It's a non-story.
I did also find this. What do you think of that?
That's pretty upsetting, whatever that is.
It pretty much is. That's the theme from SpongeBob SquarePants, slow down 800 times.
Why?
Oh, because.
Because you can.
Because people could and they wanted to do that. I'm sorry, that wasn't really very inspiring.
You could have a really bad time listening to that.
You probably could. Julian Morgans is editor of Vice Australia. Anne Edmonds is a comedian. They have been wrapping the week. And I've been trying to keep up as best I might. Anne is performing this month. If you're on the East Coast, comedystore.com.au, and you'll see her dates.
Yes.
News time, 7 o'clock.